Little Sam and the Manic. It's only by God's grace that I sit here and I don't take it lightly today. And if it's anything I say or share with y'all, I ask that it be God's will and not mine. You know, I love my sponsor. That was my sponsor. You know, she's a woman with integrity. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to carry that same kind of enthusiasm within myself today, man. Carol asked me too to do the marathon, and I really ain't down with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know, because I ain't do too much TV watching because I stayed in the streets too long, you know what I mean? And but I heard of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, so, you know, I just pray to my God, man, and ask that, you know, he just worked through me as I carried the message of Narcotics Anonymous, you know what I mean? I just know that the lifestyle I was addicted to, you know, all my wrongs was my rights, all my rights was my wrongs. I didn't know no other way how to live but the way that I was taught and what I saw, you know. Coming up in the area, you know, one thing I thank God and Narcotics Anonymous for is that the reading stipulated don't care who your connections was, where you come from, how much drugs you use, your race, age, creed, and religion. So I don't have to tell y'all I'm from D.C. I'm once I cross that threshold, I'm a recovering addict, you know. Today, man, I just know that I can think back and reflect on my life. You know, in the beginning, it was fun. You know, I remember I could sit down at the table and we could play cards, we could snort us some powder cane, we could smoke weed, drink, you know, even at times I could smoke me some crack and I could pass the stem, or I could just say, here, man, it's yours, Jeff, I'm gone, man, you can have that, you know, in the beginning. But at the end, I feel like, man, you know, I ain't seen you all day, right? I did this move by myself today, you know, you know, and my disease during my addiction allowed me to travel places, you know what I mean? Back and forth up the East Coast, man, just using, you know. I remember I couldn't even get out of a 4-block radius, you know, in my area where I come out of, you know. But here today, y'all told me in Narcotics Anonymous, lost dreams are waking. You know, here I'm sitting in Ocean City. You know what I mean? I done been to Cancun, Mexico, Las Vegas, and a few other places, you know. And I just reflect back because I couldn't come out of that floor block radius, man. And, you know, when I use, I go to jail for nothing, you know. I go to jail for fighting over transfers, and I can't end up, I can't understand how I end up in jail, you know what I mean? When simply the bus was coming by, I was at the window asking anybody on the back bus, do you got a transfer? And the guy told me to get a job. And I got in my feelings. F you, motherfucker. You know, and the bus rolled by, and I wasn't expecting him to get off the bus and come back. And he got off the bus, came back, and swung a jab at me. And we ended up fighting at the corner on the corner. The police came and apprehended both of us. They ran his record and ran mine. And they said, you can let him go, but we're going to keep him. And right then and there, my defects of character just kicked in and said, man, I ain't do nothing. He stole me first. They say, but your record speak for itself. You know, I don't know if that got anything to do with, I don't know who was the bad guy. I know who was night and day. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but I know that my record spoke for itself, right? And I remember hitting the bottom, and I slept up them same church steps that my sponsor spoke about, and that's how we met each other, you know what I mean? And I remember trying to govern something that didn't belong to me or anybody else who chose to sleep up all them church steps, you know. I remember sleeping on my mother's couch all day and run the street all night and drinking all her Jack Daniels and Johnny Walker Red, and she'd come home and she'd be real disturbed, you know, and she said, "You're going to have to get out and get a job." And I took that as if she was putting me out. So what I did was run next door, calling myself Running Away, you know, and that was my man mother's house. She lived next door. So I stayed over there with him. And one day his mother came home and said, "I can't have two broke guys in the house. You know, somebody got to get a job." So I taken that. I wasn't her son. I had to leave, you know. So I end up at a park that had three park benches. And there was one bench right here on the right side. And it was a guy, bless you, it was a guy that had a cardboard that was hooked up to that bench that he'll go underneath the cardboard and get onto the bench. Then there was a bench waiting on me sitting in the middle. Then there was another bench on the left side with a guy that had a bicycle chained to the bench with all these gadgets hooked up to it. And I remember drinking stuff like Absolut and Hennessy, right? And I ain't had no money, but I ended up landing on the park bench. And they was drinking Odessa and Valley Cop. And I was like, "Well, man, can I get a little bit of that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You got a cup?" He said, "Cup? Man, we don't drink out no cup down here." You know, because I ain't had no idea that, you know, they was homeless. Something I said I'd never be. You know what I mean? And I always pointed the finger at guys like that, right? And I grabbed the bottle. I wasn't thinking about no TB or none of that. I just took it straight to the head, you know, and the only thing I can remember him telling me is that it put hair on your chest, and I ain't got nair string yet, you know what I mean? But that's the way they taught me, you know. So I remember shifting gears where it was real cold outside, and snow was above my waistline, and I was frostbitten and everything. But I had a little more crack still in my pocket that I needed to finish up no matter how cold, how hopeless, helpless, and penniless I felt out there. You know, the shame, the guilt, the remorse, everything set in because I feel that everybody turned their back on me. So I said, I know one person that I can call on, and that was my grandmother right here, right? So I call her, her name Pauline. I say, "Polly, can I come over?" And she said, "Yeah, as long as you don't bring that stuff with you." And you know, our addict, you're going to take everything you got with you. You know, the char ball, the stem, and everything. So we got these long buses, and it took from, say, from the end, the beginning of Ocean City down this way to the end all the way down there. And when I finally got over there, I went straight to the back of the bus. Now, remind you, my feet stank so bad that the smell was coming outside of my boots. And people would smell them automatically when they walked towards me. You know, so now I understand why everybody who got on the bus sat up front. And I was the only one in the back. So I'm opening windows, ducking behind seats, blowing smoke out the window. And the bus driver look up and say, man, he holler in the back, "You got to go, man. This your stop." I took one more hit and said, "It's my stop anyway," you know, and got off the bus, and I got over my grandmother's house. My aunt met me at the door. My boots met them at the door, and they got to crying, and I got to crying, and they say, "I can't believe my grandson looking like this," because they couldn't recognize me. You know, I'm one of them grandsons or nephews that they talk about so much when I was doing so good that I was a neat freak that they called me immaculate, right? Because they can always count on me to clean something. You dirty an ashtray up, I'm cleaning it real good, you know. And my aunt said, "I want you to take this trash bag and take off everything you own in the bathroom. Don't take off, don't stop, don't do nothing. Just go in the bathroom and take off everything you own and put it in the trash bag and tie it up till you tie the word glad off, you know." And I went in there, I took a shower, And I did everything they told me to do, and they tossed my stuff over the back gate. And my aunt gave me a bald head, and she gave me like two champion sweatshirts, and she gave me a pair of jeans that had CHIC on the back pocket, right? And I pursued to go ahead and lay down. And when I laid down, she said, when she go to work in the morning, I don't care where you go, but you got to get the hell out of here, you know. And that's what I pursued to do. And I've repeated that same vicious cycle that the literature talk about over and over and over and over again. And I ended right back up there where me and my sponsor was talking about at the church step. And I started doing the same things, you know. It wasn't until a little girl who I used to take with me and my ready-made family to the circus, the zoo, or the carnival, who looked at me as a role model and said, "Mr. Sam, why your jaws looking like that?" And they were sucked all the way in. And it's funny how people can see you better than you can see yourself. You know, me and my sponsor, we always talk, and it's funny how the theme is looking in the mirror, me in the mirror, and I always share about, we talk about the man in the mirror, you know what I mean? And I remember being so hungry one day, right? And I really wanted something to eat this particular time. And I used to go to Popeyes and get free food all the time. But the manager wasn't here this time. And when I went in there this particular time, this lady was working. I got the order and all this stuff like, "Y'all don't know who I am. I get free food all the time." And she was like, "Well, you got to pay like everybody else." So immediately my disease kicked in, and I jumped over the counter, and I started bagging chicken up with my bare hands. And while I was over there, the girl on the register talking about, "Ooh, look at him, look at him." And immediately I reached right in there and grabbed the first thing that my five fingers could reach in that drawer. Now, I ain't going to sit here and tell you that I'm this hell of a dude and I grabbed the whole cash register. See, I'm a petty addict when I use, you know what I mean? I get real petty and I use extremely, you know what I mean? And so I pursued to come over the counter with a bag of chicken in this arm and about $35 in this hand. Now, I done lost all desire to want to even eat anything once I had that money in my hand. You know what I mean? The chicken went to somebody, and you do the math, the money went to the dope man. You know, and but today, man, I can honestly say that through the grace of God and this program and you people, I have tremendously done a 365-degree turn, man. See, it ain't nothing that somebody told me. This is some evidence that I have seen for myself, because I never had my own anything, you know what I mean? I remember being in a relationship that I really wanted out of, but I was too afraid to leave, but I ain't want to see nobody else with her. You know, that might have went over a couple people here right there. I know it's early this morning. Mean that if I see you with this dude, I'm going to kill you and this dude. Now, I ain't never killed nobody in my life that I know of, right? Now, I know in the institutions I might have punctured a couple of people, you know what I mean? But I ain't never killed nobody. And when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I never been to a detox or treatment. You know, my clean date is February the 3rd, 2003, right? And I haven't found it necessary to use. And y'all told me, get a sponsor, get a network, get in service. Find a God of my understanding, help somebody with no strings attached, you know. And I did everything like my sponsor said. I was willing, because I was whipped into complete submission, you know. So if there's any newcomers in here tonight, my although the topic is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, my message is always hope, and the promise is freedom, that no addict seeking recovery need ever die, you know. My gratitude, speak, and care when I share with others the NA way. You know, I came in as a zero. You know, I used to have little odds and end jobs. I started off as a carpenter's helper, you know, when I first started getting clean, and them people saw something in me. And now today I'm here to tell y'all that I build condominiums from the ground up, and I'm a site foreman, and I manage 80 to 100 guys, and I'm OSHA certified. I have been driving without a license for 40 years. I turned 41 April the 5th, and I just got my license, learners, my own vehicle. Since I've been in this program, I've been in a major car accident, and just seeing evidence that God still ain't finished with me yet. You know, and I don't take it lightly. You know, I never held as many responsibilities that I have today. I never had people who count on me to just show up through this program, man. You know, I can't even imagine how God is working in my life, but somebody else see it, and I don't even see it. But I'm not saying that I'm not thankful. I just don't see what some people who approach me, and I say this to say, because I remember when I first came to Ocean City, and a guy from Detroit, Michigan shared at the Sunday morning spiritual meeting, and his name was Benji. And I introduced myself. I mean, I hugged and embraced a brother that's from my hometown. And one thing about me, I can know you, but I ain't got to know this person. But I'm going to introduce myself to you, because my sponsor taught me how to get outside of myself. And what happened was, I knew a fella he was talking to, and I hugged and embraced him, and I introduced myself to him. And he said his name was Benji. And you should have seen me. My radars went up, and I was like, Benji from Detroit? Man, I know your story, man. You spoke about goodwill. You did this. I mean, all this just came out because I was overwhelmed, because his message had touched me, and it carried me all the way home, that I played his CD over and over and over. And I kept telling other people, you need to hear this CD. You need to hear this. I had CDs burned for other people for their anniversaries. You know, that's the impact through the grace of God and you people in this program, that when one addict helping another addict without parallel, right, carrying the message, not the mess, you know. And so the reflection in the mirror came right back to me. So one day I was somewhere, and the guy say, you Lil Sam? And I kind of like get a defect of character that come up every now and then when somebody asks me, am I Lil Sam? Because I kind of reflect back on some old stuff I done did and harm that I done created, that sometimes the fear still set in that somebody out to hurt me, right? But I know I done asked for forgiveness over and over and over and over. But when he said, you Lil Sam, man, I got your CD. I heard you in Ocean City, man. Man, you powerful, brother. I take it to work with me. And I couldn't do nothing but pause for a second and give God the glory and remain humble. Because I just remember me doing the same thing. So y'all say you need to be careful for what you ask for, because you just might get it in here. And all I've been doing is seeing all my dreams that I ever wanted starting to come to reality. You know, but the most important thing that I want the most in recovery is for my mother to see all my accomplishments today. But she's an alcoholic, and she lived long distance from me, and she caught up in the grips of the ism, right, that I can go up and down the road to Norfolk to see her. But like my grandmother told me before she left, I got to keep her in prayer, and when the pain get greater than the pain, she'll stop if it ain't too late. You know what I mean? And, you know, I heard a dude say, if your name not on the leaf, you still consider homeless. Not on your mother's couch, not in your grandmother's basement, and all these things, your baby mama's house, you know. So today I can honestly say, Jeff, that Lil Sam name on the lease, right, and mine's only, you know what I mean? And registration, I have a title under my name. Since my accident, when I had the car before it got totaled, I was trying to establish some credit. And I think my credit was like 172 at the time. So when I start paying on my car notes on time consistently, right? Because the only thing I ever did consistently for 4 years was stay clean one day at a time. You know what I mean? Pay my rent, you know, my accessories as far as my responsibilities, stayed on my job 4 years. I mean, everything consists 4 years for me right now, right? Consistently. And so it went from 172 to 576, and I had a high interest rate of 24. And since the accident and insurance, get ready to pay my car off, and it went up to 576, and they ain't even counting when they pay the car off, it's going to go up a little more. And they done lowered my interest rate from 24 to 11. And they done put me in a 2007 truck. And I'm like, whoa. You know. Because I was trying to get it when I wanted it. But my sponsor was saying, you need to just chill and talk to your higher power and see what he's trying to do to you. And when I took her suggestion, that meant that when I talk to my higher power, I'm going to have to sacrifice and cut a lot of stuff off, meaning that I might have to cut some network members off just to raise the bar. And that's what I had to do, because it seemed like I had to fight my fear of the unknown, because a lot of times when I be faced against my fears, I don't want to go through with it. I want to allow the fear to get the victory. But, you know, God said, man, I ain't bring you this far. I done brought you out of a tragedy accident where you ain't even get a scar on your body, but your car was like, you know, just balled up. Both wheels break off, the axle, the trunk in your back seat, all back windows break. One front wheel come off and the car didn't flip over. It just twists. And the state trooper said, because of the wheels breaking off in the back, it had flat surface to really stop. And the guy was doing about 100 and hit me in the back, and I was doing 45, and both airbags deployed, and me and my partner in the car, I'm knocked out. He had to come around the car, unstrap me from the seatbelt, wake me up, and I'm looking at him like, what's up, man? Where we at, man? What happened? You know? And through the grace of God, man, I'm here to tell my story, and I celebrated that following Saturday 4 years, man. And y'all don't tell me that wasn't no miracle, man. You know, I'm just grateful to be alive. You know, I'm enjoying myself. You know, I'm trying to stay out my own way. You know what I mean? And I know that God uses me as a vessel. And long as I continue to stay out my way, man, the door's going to remain open. You know, thanks for letting me share. Thanks for sharing.